Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee kurup, guten tag, ciao, wivi va ketbang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial, poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster-bankrupt, bribocratic, corruptocracy-mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of dead animal body parts. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, your Betty Ford Clinic of the Airwaves. As we bid a fond farewell to the First Lady of Addiction, let us honor her by addressing your most life-threatening addiction. Hello, my name is Bob, and I'm a recovering flesh eater and cow's milk drinker. Welcome to Rehab for Meat Eaters and Dairy Consumers. I'm glad you're here for your intervention. Your rehabilitation starts today. But first, you have to admit that you're addicted. And, well, what would you consider an addiction to be? Habitual use of a harmful substance? Well, look at tobacco. About 400,000 annual deaths per year associated with that. And alcohol, 150,000 estimated deaths per year. Cannabis, oh, zero deaths per year, huh? Oh, okay. Well, anyway, choose your addiction. Your, well, heroin, morphine, your opiate. Why do you derive such pleasure from cow's milk, from cheese, from ice cream? Huh? Well, there's a milk protein, casomorphin. It's a powerful opiate in dairy. It's a Florida researcher, Robert Cade, MD, who hypothesized that casomorphin as it's a probable cause of attention deficit disorder. Dr. Cade also found beta-casomorphin 7 in high concentrations in the urine and blood of patients suffering from schizophrenia or autism. And he suggests that the casomorphin leads to, quote, lack of awareness of events, antisocial behavior, and decreased verbal skills, end quote. And, if you're just tuning in, no, I'm not talking about heroin addiction right now. It's dairy addiction. And really, the war on drugs, I think it should begin with that container of cow's milk in your refrigerator. You know, good news for the DEA, though, you know, your war on drugs, which has been proclaimed a failure by everyone. Okay, well, now you don't have to give up your funding and your cushy, worthless jobs. Just start conducting your raids on dairy farms. Let's see, DEA obsessed with marijuana, huh? And how many deaths from marijuana every year? Zero. How many deaths from dairy? Well, let's see. Heart disease, cancer. T. Colin Campbell in the book The China Study says the dairy protein is the carcinogen to which Americans are most exposed. So let's see. Heart disease, what, about 700,000-800,000 deaths per year? Cancer, about 700,000-800,000 deaths per year? Yeah, I think DEA could easily leave the marijuana plants alone and go take Ben and Jerry into custody. So, you know, 1.5 million Americans dead every year because of meat and dairy. Right? How many deaths from marijuana? Zero. How many deaths from Al-Qaeda or the Taliban? Well, it's obvious. I'm calling on Barack the Bomber to conduct drone attacks on dairy farms. Huh? You know, so, and how about the lack of awareness and antisocial behavior from drinking milk? Huh? Well, could dairy be to blame for people's lack of awareness and antisocial behavior in attending the circus? Could they be unaware of the horrible conditions for animals in the cruelest show on earth, the risk to public health? Ringling Brothers doesn't test the elephants for tuberculosis sufficiently, apparently, because there are charges with the USDA associated with that. Do you want your child to get tuberculosis from an elephant in the circus? I mean, yeah, it sounds like a lack of awareness. People have been hitting that bovine secretion bottle a little too much, huh? And antisocial behavior. What a horrible antisocial message the circus sends to children. Oppressing others is entertaining. Might makes right. Whips and chains and bullhooks make stupid tricks right. You know, animals in the circus perform out of fear. Mommy, Daddy, don't take me to the show that hurts animals. I love animals. Don't take me to Ringling Brothers. Can't we go bowling or to the movies, huh? You know, I mean, what is that mean man doing over there, Mommy? What is he doing with that big stick with the big metal hook on the end of it, huh? Well, in case you don't know, that's a bull hook. It's what's used to train elephants on their very sensitive skin. But don't worry, when they're injured, the circus has makeup to cover that. Last year, when Anaheim police arrested my friend Brian Monell, I was arrested for using a bullhorn at the circus in Anaheim. I asked Brian to videotape me as he moved toward me. The police made sure to get in his way, establish contact, and create really a terrible scene. Anyway, so Brian had brought a bullhook to the circus to show how elephants are trained. Well, by the end of the evening, Anaheim PD confiscated the bullhook and called it a deadly weapon. So Anaheim PD has classified the bullhook as a deadly weapon. Do you want to go to a show where the animals are trained with deadly weapons, huh? Animals brutally beaten to perform dumb tricks? I mean, you know, welcome to the cruelest show on earth. Step right up. Elephants kept in chains, you know, chained by one leg all day until they're there to perform. Hopefully this isn't a performance where the elephant has just had enough and goes berserk and goes trampling through the crowd. Hopefully not your child, huh? Animals transported in small enclosures on trucks or railroad cars. I mean, horrible conditions. The temperature too high, too low. Ringling Brothers has been cited numerous times by the USDA for serious violations of the Animal Welfare Act. And you know, nobody gets cited for that. So Ringling Brothers has been cited for improper handling of dangerous animals, failure to provide adequate veterinary care to animals, causing trauma, behavioral stress, physical harm, and unnecessary discomfort to elephants, endangering tigers, tiger nearly baked alive in a boxcar, failure to test elephants for tuberculosis, as I mentioned, and unsanitary feeding conditions. So, the cruelest show on earth is very cruel to animals. What? This is fun? This is entertaining? Huh? You know? Well, when you go to Staples Center for the circus, you go back to the Dark Ages, you know, after when you go to the Honda Center after it's in L.A. and you go into the Honda Center, when you go through those doors, you're going back in time to the Dark Ages. But please, join us in the 21st century. The circus is being banned in countries around the world, in cities around the U.S. Join us for the biggest circus protest ever this coming Wednesday in Los Angeles at Staples Center, 6 p.m., 11th and Figueroa. You know, animals are not ours to be used for entertainment, the same as they're not ours to be used for food. But I tell you, I don't know if the circus has more clowns or if it's HSUS with its agreement with the egg industry this past week. HSUS, the Humane, well, I call it the Humanely About the Money Society of the United States, the Humane Society of the United States. Who elected HSUS to represent chickens or animal rights activists? And why do animal rights activists associate with HSUS at all, huh? I don't really get it, huh? I consider HSUS itself to represent animal exploitation, this anti-vegan organization that it is. Well, it partners with people I would never want, with whom I'd never want to hold hands. It partners with Wolfgang Puck, Iams, Procter & Gamble, Michael Vick, and animal agriculture. Well, the joke is on you if you're an animal activist who partners with these clowns, HSUS. On today's program, HSUS Exposed, Professor Gary Francione takes a look at HSUS and the new egg agreement. Gary Francione, Rutgers University, the first academic to teach animal theory in an American law school. So, I mean, if you've ever been suckered into donating to HSUS, you know, well, maybe you're happy funding the Lamborghini for its multi-million-dollar CEO, you know, but why not really do something that helps animals? Donate to Go Vegan Radio so Go Vegan with Bob Linden can be on the air and stay on the stations currently broadcasting. And, you know, New York wants to run the show, Los Angeles, Seattle, Chicago. It's all a matter of money, the money you've been giving to HSUS. Now, maybe you'll divert some of those funds toward really helping animals, toward a vegan cause. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. This program does not support Happy Eggs or Happy Meat. We don't support Michael Vick. We don't support Wolfgang Puck, Procter & Gamble, or the United Egg Producers. We know the real answer for the chickens is for everyone to go vegan, and that's what this program is all about. So all I can say is, hey, hey, ho, ho, HSUS has got to go. Okay, and for archives and podcasts and to donate online, please visit goveganradio.com.
Don't want bird flu? Maybe you shouldn't eat birds. A chicken is a bird.
Don't bother, there he is.
Here's the burger that makes you feel as good as sunshine. It's Sunshine Burger, organic, vegan, and gluten-free, made from simple, wholesome ingredients, raw, ground, organic sunflower seeds, organic grains, organic vegetables, and sea salt. Sunshine Burger. Try the original Garden Herb, Barbecue, and Southwest Veggie Burgers, Falafel Patty, and Hemp Fest Breakfast Patty in the frozen section of your natural market. Already oven-baked and browned, just reheat and serve organic, vegan, gluten-free Sunshine Burger. Visit sunshineburger.com. You'll love Loving Hut, the fastest-growing chain of vegan restaurants ever, now with over 200 worldwide. The first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you, including three in San Francisco, Oak Ridge Mall in San Jose, and Elk Grove. You'll love Loving Hut. Visit lovinghut.us. The clock is ticking for planet Earth in crisis. Climate change, rising oceans, melting glaciers, deforestation, floods, fires, tornadoes, loss of biodiversity, hunger, disease, poverty. What do we do? Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai, From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer. She and her organization have been recognized by world, national, and state leaders for their noble dedication to disaster relief. What is the connection between planetary disaster and meat and dairy consumption? Read From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer, from Supreme Master Ching Hai. What must we ask of our local and global leaders at this time of crisis? What must we ask of ourselves to save the planet? How do we go from crisis to peace? Read From Crisis to Peace. Read it for free at crisistopeace.org. That's crisis, the number two, peace.org. Read it for free. For more on the environment, compassion for animals, improved human health, and plenty of free vegan cooking lessons, visit suprememastertv.com. Read the new book from Supreme Master Qinghai at crisis2peace.org.
McDonald's, yuck!
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, now broadcasting for over 10 years, Animal Liberation, Media Infiltration, and we purchase airtime each and every week so we can be, you know, as heard on Air America. We were on 26 radio stations. We're still on Progressive Talk, Clear Channel stations such as Green 960 in San Francisco, KPOJ Portland. We have to buy the airtime every week, and you can help with a tax-deductible donation. You make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.org. So, this week, the big news and an agreement with the Humane Society of the United States and the egg industry. And if you've listened to this show over the years, you know how I feel about the Humane Society of the United States, or well, I call it the Humanely About the Money Society of the United States. My next guest is actually the one who awakened me to, the evil that I now consider the Humane Society of the United States, and we should get into a discussion of this latest agreement. Gary Francione is the Distinguished Professor of Law and Nicholas D.B. Katzenbach Scholar of Law and Philosophy, Rutgers University, the very first one to teach animal rights theory at an American law school. His website, abolitionistapproach.com. He has a new book out, The Animal Rights Debate, Abolition or Regulation. And he has also authored Animals as Persons, Essays on the Abolition of Animal Exploitation, also Introduction to Animal Rights, Your Child or the Dog, Rain Without Thunder, Ideology of the Animal Rights Movement, Animals, Property, and the Law, and Vivisection and Dissection in the Classroom, A Guide to Conscientious Objection. And welcome again to Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Professor Francione. How are you today?
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So who elected HSUS to represent chickens or the animal rights movement in a debate here?
It's a complicated question. I just wrote an essay on my website in which I say that there have been two reactions to this agreement that you refer to, and for those people who are not familiar with it, HSUS and the United Egg Producers have agreed to promote a federal law, the passage of a federal law that would, over a period of 18 years, phase in what is known as an enriched cage. Basically, it's a cage which is larger than the standard battery cage, and it has some space for perching and quote natural end quote behaviors of hens. I don't even know how one can talk sensibly about the natural behaviors of hens, talking about them confined period, let alone in any sort of cage, enriched or not. But in any event, that's the agreement that they have reached, and in return for that, HSUS for its part will drop its state initiatives and stop pushing for cage-free eggs, and will simply focus on phasing in the enriched cage over a period of the next 18 years. And there have been two reactions to this, Bob. One reaction has been that HSUS has really sold out the animals with this agreement. And on one hand, I certainly think the agreement's ridiculous. I think it's silly, and it's a disaster in many respects. But in certain respects, what can one expect from the Humane Society? I mean, the Humane Society is just that, the Humane Society. It's been doing this sort of thing in one form or another for its entire existence. And, I mean, it's not an animal rights organization. They support the, they're partners with the Certified Humane Raised and Handled label. They have two of the HSUS executives are on the board of Humane Farm Animal Care, which is the group that sponsors that particular label, the Certified Humane Raised and Handled label. Humane Society International, which is an arm of the Humane Society, has its own Happy Meat label, the Humane Choice label, and which is affixed to the corpses of animals and other animal products in various parts of the world. And HSUS does not take an anti-hunting position. They do not take an anti-fishing position. They talk about responsible hunting. They have made it very, very clear that their membership is overwhelmingly not even vegetarian, let alone vegan. They've made it clear that they don't support animal rights. They're not an animal rights organization. So, in a sense, what can one expect? And if you want more about this, you can read the essay that I just posted at abolitionistapproach.com. So in a sense, what can one expect from the Humane Society? I mean, they're basically, it's basically an organization comprised largely of people who are interested in dogs and cats and horses and whatnot, and who have some sort of vague feelings that, you know, hey, I like animals, and they contribute to HSUS, and HSUS makes them feel good about animal exploitation because that's what HSUS is about. HSUS is about promoting the idea that there's a humane way to exploit animals. This is nothing new. They've been doing this. I have been involved in this movement for just about 30 years now. And they've been doing this ever since I've been involved, and they were doing this before I got involved when they began, I guess, in the 1950s, as I recall. And they've been doing this forever. So in a sense, there's nothing unusual about this. What is unusual about this is the other reaction, that is the reaction of animal rights people who are saying, this is a great idea. This is a real step forward. And that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. This is not a step forward. This is a step backward. Because first of all, enriched cages, the difference between an enriched cage and a conventional battery cage is the difference between a waterboard without padding and a waterboard with padding. Okay, the welfare benefits are largely insignificant. As a matter of fact, enriched cages, the enriched cage is one of the options that European producers have to use to produce eggs. That is, the European Commission has required that by 2012, that all eggs produced in the European community not be produced in conventional battery cages. Now, that's not going to be, that 2012 deadline is not going to be met. As a matter of fact, it's not going to be met for many years. But one of the things that producers in Europe can do is to use enriched cages, which a lot of them are doing. And this is coming under scrutiny even from conservative animal welfare groups in Europe who say that the enriched cage is terrible and doesn't meet the welfare benefits of hens. And so, you know, the idea that the enriched cage, which even moderate welfarists in Europe think is a bad idea, is being touted as, you know, great victory here is crazy. It's simply crazy. It's not a step forward. It's a step back. It gives people the idea that we can exploit hens in a humane way. That's simply false. It puts an imprimatur, the stamp of approval of HSUS is now placed on all of the eggs from these tortured animals. And again, I understand why HSUS is doing it because that's what they do. They're not an animal rights organization. They're a humane society. They are dedicated to promoting the idea that it's okay to exploit animals as long as you do it kindly. And what's disconcerting is to have animal rights people, or people who claim to be animal rights people, saying this is a great idea. It's not. It's a terrible idea. And so it's complicated because, you know, if 30 years ago when HSUS used to promote things, people who considered themselves animal rights people would, you know, could say, look, you know, that's what they're doing. We disagree with it. We think it's a bad idea. And here's why we think it's a bad idea. Now the animal rights movement has become so much like, as a matter of fact, I think they're largely indistinguishable. The animal rights movement, the animal welfare movement have largely become indistinguishable. And they're all animal welfare. They're, you know, all the large groups are basically animal welfare groups. That their campaigns largely, you know, they're very similar. they're very similar. The difference is between and amongst these groups is relatively small, and so you have groups that are considered to be sort of more progressive, or who claim to be animal rights groups, or who claim to be abolitionist groups. You have those groups saying, "Oh, well, we think this is a great idea," and that's bewildering and troubling.
Mm. Well, you know, what also bothers me would be the words humane and welfare, because they seem to suggest that there's any good treatment at all. It's really bad fare. It's not humane. And no animals do well. They all die. And what's humane about all the male chicks being ground up alive or suffocated, all the females debeaked and killed anyway? And I remember hearing about those enriched cages in Europe years ago. And years ago, they were saying there's nothing humane about an enriched cage either.
That's right. You know? That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, Compassion and World Farming, which is a very conservative organization, put out a report about why the enriched cage did not meet the welfare needs of hens. Now, look, let me say, I distinguish between treatment and use. I mean, my view is, I mean, the animal welfare position is that it is all right to exploit animals as long as we treat them inhumanely. Now, I don't believe that that's possible to treat them in any way that we could characterize reasonably as humanely, because animals are property, and animal welfare standards are always going to be set at a very, 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 you know, to a very low standard because of the economic considerations. And that's not, you know, and that's getting worse because of the international nature of trade and economics, but that's just getting worse. And so I don't think that that welfare standards are ever going to be, you know, provide any level of significant protection to animal interests. But the issue of treatment is very different from the issue of use. In other words, my position is we cannot justify animal use however humanely we treat them. We can't justify using animals, period. I mean, we can talk about whether or not it's better to beat the slaves 10 times a week or 9 times a week, but that, you know, that's an issue of treatment. That doesn't address the fundamental issue as to whether or not using slaves, you know, having human slavery at all, is a morally acceptable and just institution. So, I mean, I agree with the comment you were making a second ago. I mean, these hens are going to be tortured. The eggs that come from these hens in these enriched cages in 18 years, they will be tortured animals. These will be the products of tortured animals. Will they be slightly less tortured than the animals in battery cages? And the answer is, well, perhaps to the extent that someone who is waterboarded on a padded waterboard is tortured perhaps slightly less than somebody who is waterboarded on an unpadded waterboard. But
right, I've looked at that also, Gary. I say it's like, well, if human rights people made their campaign to be, you know, to have soy creamer in Guantanamo for the prisoners there, you know, why dedicate that time to soy creamer for the prisoners? And then, you know, they go and say, oh, Guantanamo is now a 5-star resort. You know what I mean? Then
exactly. And you see, this is the speciesism of animal welfare, because we would never tolerate or think acceptable a campaign like that. I mean, if somebody said, hey, look, let's get better food for the people at Guantanamo Bay, that will make them suffer less, and let's have a campaign, people would look at that and say, are you crazy? I mean, you know, if you oppose what's going on in Guantanamo Bay, then you're not going to be satisfied at all by the fact they're getting better food. You're going to say, look, this is a fundamentally unjust institution in which people are being incarcerated without proof beyond a reasonable doubt or any proof at all of their guilt. And so, and that violates a fundamental notion of human rights, that we ought not to put people in prison without proof that they've done something wrong, and that's one of the reasons why many people object to the existence of something like Guantanamo Bay. And so if you object to that, the idea that we're giving them better food isn't really going to address the fundamental issue that we don't like the idea that we're imprisoning people without proving beyond a reasonable doubt that they've done something wrong. And so nobody would tolerate a campaign like that. Or if I said, look, you know, rape's really horrible, let's campaign for humane rape. You know, I mean, you can do it more or less brutally. Let's campaign for less brutal rape. Most people, I would imagine, as a matter of fact, I've never really met anybody who said, hey, it's a good idea. I mean, most people would say it's a very bad idea. Mm-hmm. So why do we have these sorts of campaigns where animals are involved? And the answer is quite simple, because the welfare position, which says it's all right for us to exploit animals as long as we treat animals in a humane or kind way, is a speciesist position.
Gary, we have to take a break right now. We're talking to Gary Francione. He has a new book, The Animal Rights Debate, Abolition or Regulation. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We will continue with Professor Francione.
Cows, pigs, and chickens don't want to be food.
We got something for you who don't want meat. A natural soy product and a tasty treat. It's tofurkey. That's what I said, tofurkey. There's tofurkey roast deli slices too. They have tofurkey sausage, even jerky to chew. We admit the name is kind of quirky, but once you taste it, you'll love tofurkey, tofurkey. Come on, give it a try. It's tofurkey. See us at tofurkey.com. T-O-F-U-R-K-Y, tofurkey. Wherever quality natural foods are sold.
New from Earth Balance, organic coconut spread. Great for baking and cooking instead of butter. Earth Balance, organic coconut spread. Bake, saute, stir fry with this creamy, smooth, vegan delight. Made with extra virgin coconut oil. Gluten-free, non-dairy, non-GMO, zero cholesterol. Your special ingredient for delicious vegan cooking and baking, Earth Balance Organic Coconut Spread. Also new from Earth Balance, spread the joy, dollop the deliciousness of Mindful Mayo Dressing and Sandwich Spread in three creamy smooth varieties. Original, olive oil, and organic. Gluten-free, non-GMO, and vegan, new Mindful Mayo from Earth Balance. Visit madejustright.com for recipes and tips, and also enjoy Earth Balance Buttery Spreads, Shortenings, Nut Butters, and Soy Milk. Thanks, Earth Balance, for making all of your products vegan. Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro in Portland is so popular, it's had to expand its seating. Find out for yourself why Sweet Lemon rates such rave reviews for its 100% vegan, Asian and American fusion creative cuisine. Some dishes found nowhere else. See the menu at SweetLemonVeggieBistro.com. Catering trays, vegan cakes, and delivery are available. Sweet Lemon in the Bethany Village Center. 4888 Northwest Bethany Boulevard. Call 503-617-1419. Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro.
Meat eaters destroy the earth.
We continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and my guest today is Professor Gary Francione of Rutgers University. His website, abolitionistapproach.com. He has a new book out, The Animal Rights Debate, Abolition or Deregulation. You can go to goveganradio.com for the archive program where you can hear the first part of our interview. And we continue. Gary, you wanted to pick up from where you left off before the break?
Yes. What I wanted to say, Bob, is that the animal welfare position rests on the notion, and it goes back to the to basically the dawn of the animal welfare movement in the 19th century in Britain, that animals don't care that we use them or kill them. They only care about how we treat them and how we kill them. So the cow doesn't care that we use and kill her. She only cares about how we treat her and how we kill her. And that's an idea that we find in people like Jeremy Bentham and others. And we find that in the work of Peter Singer. And Peter Singer, in Animal Liberation and in other things that he writes, takes the position that animals, for the most part, with the exception of some animals like the non-human great apes, that animals don't care about the fact that we use them. They don't have an interest in continuing to live. They only have an interest in not suffering, and they only have an interest in being slaughtered in a humane way. But they don't really care that we exploit them as long as we do so in a humane way. I think that's a speciesist notion. I think it rests on a speciesist concept of self-awareness. It basically says the only beings who have who are self-aware, or are beings who, like us, are reflectively self-aware because we use language and we have certain sorts of minds and certain sorts of cognitive states. I mean, my view is that any being that is sentient, any being who's sentient, has an interest in continuing to live, because sentience is a means to the end of continued existence. It's a characteristic that evolves in certain beings who use sentience as a way of continuing to remain alive. So to say that an animal, a sentient being, a cow, doesn't have an interest in continuing to live is like saying a being who has eyes doesn't have an interest in continuing to see. It simply doesn't make any sense. And I think this notion is very, very, it's a speciesist notion that Bentham articulated, that Singer continues to articulate, and that many in the animal advocacy community, I think, one way or another, accept. So I think that's part of the problem. I discussed this at length in the Animal Rights Debate, the book you just alluded to, a book that I wrote with Professor Robert Garner of University of Leicester in England. And in the first part of the book, I defend an abolitionist position. In the second part of the book, he defends a regulationist position. And the third part of the book, we debate. But we discuss these ideas because I think that that's really where. I think that's the central issue right now facing animal advocates. If you believe that it's animal treatment that matters, then it's not a surprise that you focus on reforms that you allege or you believe will make that treatment better and more humane. If you think that the use itself is illegitimate, then you advocate for abolition, and you advocate for me, the moral baseline, the unequivocal moral baseline is veganism, and I believe that if we take animal interests seriously, we have no choice but to be vegan, and that the way we're going to shift the paradigm is through creative, nonviolent vegan education. That animal welfare reform is never going to lead us in any direction other than continued and increased animal use and exploitation, because these animal welfare reforms, which I don't think do much of anything in terms of providing for significantly increased protection for animal interests, I think makes these reforms, or these alleged reforms, make people feel more comfortable about animal exploitation. I think that's the problem.
More comfortable about eating happy meat instead of going vegan. I can eat cage-free, free-range, and those terms mean nothing, really,
Absolutely. And you know, what's really frustrating is when you have the people who support these things say, well, what proof do you have that people are feeling more comfortable when they, as a result of these labels, these happy meat labels and these happy meat campaigns? And the answer is, well, if you don't think that they're making people feel more comfortable, why are you promoting them? I mean, if these things, if the animal compassionate standard of Whole Foods, which is being promoted by many organizations in this country, including PETA, if these labels aren't making people feel more comfortable, then why is everybody promoting them? I mean, I can't think of a large organization in this country that is not promoting at least one of these labels, and some of them are promoting more. So why are they promoting them if these things don't have the effect of making people feel more comfortable about animal exploitation? Then why are these groups promoting these things?
And HSUS now, with its agreement with the United Egg Producers, we give HSUS the power to determine, what is good treatment, what is bad treatment, yet these hens will all be 100% miserable in their lives. And
I agree.
The United Egg Producers chairperson, Bob Krause, said, quote, "We are really excited as an industry about doing this. This is a thrilling moment for us in egg production." Well, if the egg industry is thrilled, I believe that the hens and animal rights advocates should be extremely horrified.
Well, sure, the egg industry is happy about it, Bob. Think about it from their perspective. I mean, they've now got a very large group that talks out of both sides of its institutional mouth. On one hand says, well, we don't really support animal rights, blah, blah, blah. And on the other hand sort of wants, as you say, to sort of be the standard bearer for animal rights. But they've now got this large organization promoting their eggs, saying,
the egg, you know, United Egg Producers, you know, they're a great group of people, and you know, the eggs that are going to come out from their members are basically humane, happy eggs. So they've now got a partner in the form of HSUS. But in, again, in HSUS isn't unique in this, Bob. I mean, I can't name a large organization that isn't partnering up with institutional exploiters in one form or another. They're all doing this. I mean, HSUS isn't unique in this respect. They're all doing this.
And, well, I mean, HSUS gets $120 million a year in revenues to supposedly represent animals, and I feel like it's actually the animal exploitation industry infiltrating the animal rights movement.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it has to be as clandestine as infiltration. I think it's right out, you know, I mean, it's right out there for everybody to see. And yeah, I agree. HSUS brings in many, many dollars. But so do a lot of these large organizations. And as I say, they're all partnering with institutional users in one form or another. This is a reason for concern. It's a reason why I ultimately believe that the paradigm is not going to shift as a result of these charities. And I don't care which charity we are talking about. It doesn't really matter whether it's HSUS or any one of the other ones. These are businesses. These are businesses, and they've got an incentive to try to appeal to the largest number of donors that they can, so that they all go in the same direction of basically watering down the message and making it consistent with all forms of animal exploitation. So whether it's a deal with United Egg Producers or whether it's promoting Kentucky Fried Chicken in Canada because they're gassing chickens and boycotting Kentucky Fried Chicken in the United States until they gas chickens, whether it's, you know, it doesn't really matter what sort of campaign it is. These are all basically aspects of the same problem, and that is the economic incentives that go along with partnering users. This is a problem. And I don't think it's unique to HSUS or to this agreement with United Egg Producers. This is just an example of a problem. I do find it interesting, though, that, you know, you have these welfarists saying, well, we've got to do something to help animals now. We've got to do something to help animals now. And what do? They enter into an agreement to promote legislation, which, if it's passed, and how many years is that going to take, if it's passed, will phase in over 18 years.
So that's 280 million hens a year for the next 18 years who get no protection, and then in 18 years, if there's still a United States or whatever, do we have inspectors? Is it going to be the USDA? I mean, it's insane. You know,
of course. I mean, but these are the problems of animal welfare that repeat themselves again and again and again and again. First of all, these things don't take effect for years. Secondly, they're unenforceable anyway. Thirdly, you know, they don't provide significant welfare benefits for animals. I mean, it's a prescription for disaster, in my view. And, you know, if you take the resources, if you take all the labor and the economic resources that go into all these welfare campaigns and put that energy and those resources into creative, nonviolent vegan education, you would have many, many, many more vegans, and you'd have a political movement that recognized veganism as a non-negotiable baseline, and that would be the foundation for something that could actually change things in affirmative ways and lead toward the abolition of animal exploitation. These agreements, whether it's gassing chickens or whether it's providing enriched cages for hens, or whether it's, you know, whatever it is, I don't care what it is. You can pick whatever welfare campaign du jour you want to pick. They're all leading in the same direction, which is making the public feel as though there's abusive exploitation and acceptable exploitation, and that we can figure out how to do this in an acceptable, morally, an immorally acceptable way. And what that does is it facilitates and encourages the public to continue to exploit, because they don't need to stop, because now they can get the stamp of approval of the animal community on the corpses or the eggs or the milk or whatever it is that they're consuming.
there are happy eggs, there are happy meat, you know, it's really quite amazingly deceptive. Well, Karen Davis of UPC, see, I tell people, well, instead of donating money to the Humane Society, help Go Vegan Radio. There are, we can be on a number of stations with vegan education. Karen Davis of UPC said this is a acceptance of cages for laying hens, however euphemistically enriched, is a huge step backward, and that the United Poultry Concerns is dissenting from the view that HSUS agreement is a step in the right direction. You know, the people who know, you know, but just on, you know, I mean, just on Facebook.
Well, I'm glad Karen's taking that position, because for many years she's been claiming that the position I take, that we ought not to support these sorts of arrangements, is divisive and is counterproductive, and that we ought to support welfare reforms, etc. And so I'm glad that she's finally coming around to the view that these sorts of campaigns and arrangements are not a good idea. But you know, it's Bob. I mean, as I said, I've been doing this now for almost 30 years, and the welfare movement and the rights movement have merged to the point where they're indistinguishable. Mm-hmm. The campaigns that they promote are largely indistinguishable. Their attitude about veganism is, you know, basically it's a lifestyle. It's
marginalizing veganism. You know, HSUS.
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean, it makes us. They say they're the practical ones, the vegans. You know, they're the lunatic fringe. The word welfare really should be bad fare. You know, I mean, and humane should really always think of it as inhumane. You know, so and you mentioned that the Humane Society is tied in with the Humane Farm Animal Care, the Certified Humane Raised and Handled label, a Happy Meat label in Australia. So
Andrew Rowan, and I think it's Andrew Rowan and Patty Forkin, who are on the board of HSUS, or they're executives. I don't know if they're on the board, but they're certainly HSUS executives. They are on the board of Humane Farm Animal Care, which is the organization that promotes the certified humane raised and handled label. So yeah, I mean, it's all part of the same problem.
There's no happy slaughter. Gary, we have about half a minute left. Professor Gary Francione, the website abolitionistapproach.com, about 30 seconds.
All right, 30 seconds. Go vegan. If you're not vegan, go vegan. It's easy. It's very, very easy. It's better for your health. It's better for the planet. And most important, it's the morally right thing to do. And if you are vegan, every day spend some time engaged in creative, nonviolent vegan education. You'd be surprised how a little bit of effort can go such a long way. You don't need a big organization behind you. You can educate those people in your family, amongst your friends, in your community. Vegan education works.
Okay, Professor Gary Francione, the new book, The Animal Rights Debate, Abolition or Regulation, the website, abolitionistapproach.com. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bob.
We don't eat chickens. We pet chickens.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soup, salad, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., dinner 5 to 9, Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798, vegetarianhouse.us. Looking for a realtor with the ethics of a vegan and nearly three decades' experience in Bay Area real estate? Meet Judith Brooks, RE/MAX Pioneer.
Thanks, Bob. I've been a vegan for almost as long as I've been a real estate broker. I got my license in 1983, and I've been a vegan for about 20 years, which is the best decision I ever made for myself and my family. It has done wonders improving my health. And now I'm proud to say I have three healthy vegan grandchildren.
Judith, in your profession as a realtor, you actually practice what you teach.
There are some great opportunities for people, and my motto is selling dreams, not just houses. So I love to work with people, but these are challenging economic times for others who are vulnerable to disreputable people with scams and schemes. I just want everyone to know I'm here to help.
Call Judith Brooks, RE/MAX Pioneer, 888-258-6854. That's 888-258-6854. VeganEssentials.com, your award-winning online vegan superstore with over 1,200 different all-vegan products in stock. From food to footwear, personal care to household items, it's all there at VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR for Go Vegan Radio in the coupon box for your 10% discount on all orders over $50. Limited time only. VeganEssentials.com. Call 866-88-VEGAN. Vegan owned and operated. VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR in the coupon box for 10% off now. What you want is at VeganEssentials.com. You'll love Loving Hut, the fastest growing chain of vegan restaurants ever. Now with over 200 worldwide. The first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you, including three in San Francisco, Oak Ridge Mall in San Jose, and Elk Grove. You'll love Loving Hut. Visit lovinghut.us.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. If you've been listening to today's program, you could ascertain that Go Vegan Radio probably won't be receiving any advertising dollars or grants from the Humanely About the Money Society of the United States, which really doesn't support vegan causes anyway. But if you'd like to support the vegan cause, which is vegan outreach in mainstream media, we do have to purchase airtime every week, so your tax-deductible donation also supports progressive talk media, such as Green 960 in San Francisco and KPOJ in Portland. You can make your tax-deductible donation in the form of a check made payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. I hope to see you at the greatest circus protest on earth at Staples Center in Los Angeles this coming Wednesday at 6 p.m., and then at the Animal Rights Conference at the Westin LAX starting Thursday through Sunday. Go Vegan Radio, a sponsor of the Animal Rights Conference. You can check out the website, ar2011.org, for information and to register. I'm speaking Sunday morning on a media panel. I believe it's 11:30 with Will Potter and Alex Hersheft. And I invite you to support this program by advertising your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. Be my friend on Facebook. It's Bob Linden, Bob L-I-N-D-E-N. Twitter, Go Vegan Radio. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.org. And please, love animals. Don't eat them. Don't wear them. Don't buy products that have been tested upon them. Go vegan. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday at 3 p.m., the Betty Ford Clinic of the Airwaves to address your dairy addiction this Sunday. How is cow's milk a drug? Also, the Humane Society of the United States, or as I like to call it, the Humanely About the Money Society of the United States, just reached an agreement with the United Egg Producers. And I ask the question, who elected HSUS to represent chickens and animal rights activists? Bob Krause of United Egg Producers said, quote, "This is a thrilling moment for us in egg production. Well, if the chicken torturing bird killers are thrilled, you can be pretty sure that the chickens won't be, nor should animal rights activists." On this Sunday's program, HSUS Exposed, we talk to Professor Gary Francione of Rutgers University, the first academic to teach animal rights theory at an American law school. We talk about abolition versus so-called welfare. Check his website. It's abolitionistapproach.com. Hey, hey, ho, ho. HSUS has got to go. I think the circus has got to go too, right? Also this week, what's wrong with Ringling Brothers, other than it's the cruelest show on earth? I'm heading for the big circus protest in Los Angeles at Staples Center, 6 p.m. on Wednesday, and then the Animal Rights Conference, AR 2011, Thursday through Sunday at the Westin LAX Hotel. Go Vegan Radio is a sponsor. I'm speaking. If you can make it to Southern California next week for either or both, great. The website for the Animal Rights Conference is ar2011.org. And when you support Go Vegan with Bob Linden, you also support Progressive Talk Radio, and you get them every week. Your tax-deductible donations make it possible. Make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. You can donate online at goveganradio.org. Advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products. Email me, bob@goveganradio.com. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House, world-class organic vegan dining in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street. Visit vegetarianhouse.us. And by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants with over 200 worldwide. The first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barbara Lane. In Palo Alto, 165 University Avenue. Three locations in San Francisco, one in San Jose, one in Elk Grove. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you. Be my friend on Facebook. It's Bob Linden. On Twitter, it's Go Vegan Radio. If you're looking for a vegan Bay Area realtor, it's Judith Brooks, J. Brooks at remax.net. And for archives and podcasts and to donate, it's goveganradio.com.